4-0 win over Maple Hill. In her first game pitching for the varsity team on April 4th, sophomore Milazzo threw another perfect game, striking out 12 as Ichabod Crane's softball team beat Holy Names 20-0 in a game shortened to 5 innings because of the mercy rule. Also, Ichabod Crane graduate Kalissa Phippen, in her freshman year at Marist, was named to the Schutz Sports NFCA Top 25 in the Nation freshman list. Phippen is 14-3 with a 1.29 ERA and 137 strikeouts so far in her first season at Marist. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Republican Greene County Legislator William Lawrence reports on his Facebook page that most of his town's fellow Republicans are not running for re-election this year. Current Cairo Supervisor Dan Benoit, council members Dan Joyce and Gary Warner, and Superintendent of Highways Robert Hempstead are all not running for re-election, according to Lawrence. Cairo Republicans hold a caucus at 6 p.m. May 2nd at the Mountain Brow House in Round Top to pick their candidates. Lawrence writes that Sherry True and former Supervisor John Coyne are considering runs for supervisor. Tim Powers and Steve Kravalik may run for council seats, and Mike Matterick and Art Evans may run for the highway superintendent position. This has been Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you heard here.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday there is a 30% chance of showers, mainly between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 65, low around 48 Sunday night with a 20% chance of rain overnight. Then Monday, there's a 50% chance of showers with a high near 65 and low around 48. Tuesday, the chance of rain falls to 30%, mainly after 2 p.m., and there could be a thunderstorm. Could be partly sunny earlier with a high near 71 and a low around 51. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
And you are in tune to WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears, serving Greene and Columbia counties. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay, and this is The Jazz Disturbance. The time is now 8 minutes past noon. And coming right up after the show, it'll be Neva Wortel, your host for Music for the Masses here at 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, and on the TuneIn app on your smartphone. And don't forget, we do tweet here and there, twitter.com/WGXC. And a few days after the Jazz Disturbance, I do post my playlist at facebook.com/CKDisturbance, all one word. The listener line into our Hudson studio is area code 518-828-0290. That's 518-828-0290.
Thank you. We'll be right back. The true function of the two arts of music and gymnastic must be made clear. It is not that the one is for the training of the soul while the other is for the training of the body. Both improve the soul, and each is of value in this work only when employed in the proper proportion and harmony. And the harmonious soul is both temperate and courageous, while the inharmonious is cowardly and boorish. It is good for a man to allow music to play upon him, and in the first stage of this process to pour into his soul sweet and soft melancholy airs. In this way, the passion or spirited element in him is tempered like iron and made useful instead of brittle and useless. If, however, in the second stage, he still carries on this softening and soothing process, he begins to melt and may waste away his spirit until he has cut out the sinews of his soul. Then he becomes a feeble warrior. In gymnastics, if a man takes violent exercise and is a great eater, being the reverse of a proficient student of music and philosophy, at first the high condition of his body fills him with pride and spirit. He becomes twice the man he was. Then what happens? If he does nothing else and holds no converse with the muses, then even that intelligence which there may be in him grows feeble. He becomes dull and blind through a lack of any sort of inquiry or culture. His mind never wakes up or receives nourishment. His senses are never purged of their mists. Finally, he ends up by becoming a hater of philosophy, and, uncivilized, he never uses the weapon of persuasion. Like a wild beast, violent and ferocious, he knows no other way of dealing. He lives in ignorance and evil conditions and has no sense of propriety and grace. Thus, there are two principles of human nature, one philosophical and the other spirited, which correspond to music and gymnastic. He who mingles them in the fairest proportions, best tempering them to his soul, may rightly be called the true musician and harmonist in a far higher sense than the tuner of strings. Such a presiding genius as this will always be required if we are to last. If we are to last. If we are to last.
Words with silent letters are next in line for correction. Shammy, Sammy. Coxswain, Toxswain. Colonel, Journal. Core, Four. Debris, Degree. Drought, pout. Forehead, horrid. Gnome, foam.
Gunnel. You know, you gunnel. All need to mend your speech.
Height.
As we're
height.
Listening to Harry Fleetwood from this Folkways release on mending your speech, learning how to correctly pronunciate stuff.
Psalm.
So now we're listening to him talk about words with silent letters.
Key. Cue. Mew. Lean. Seen. Malign. Recline.
That's nice. Before that,
Simon,
we heard more from
Simon.
Sidney Poitier from the release
Silent,
Journeys Inside the Mind, the dialogues Sanche, of Plato,
afraid,
the music of Fred Katz
Cyan,
on Warner
Lion,
Brother Records. This
sword,
time we heard contribution sword, of music and gymnastics.
Sword, belt, pelt,
from 2018 on wrestling, Pirouette Records, wrestling, we heard keyboardist Larry Goldings, guitarist Peter Bernstein, and
words,
drummer Bill Stewart from their release
the
Toy
American
Tunes.
We follow the rule that
and
the stem,
we heard the
the
tune And Now
word,
the Queen.
Not the suffix, be stressed.
Right before that, from 2015, from the release
suffix,
Supreme Sonacy Volume 1 on Revive Records,
Gavel, Gavel. Deus,
we heard
Deus,
Dorothy Jean.
Evil,
and I
weevil,
believe that was written
Vassel,
in memory
Fuel,
and
Lever,
tribute to the
clever,
harpist Dorothy Ashby.
Ribble,
and that was done by
dribble,
harpist Brandy Younger.
Sterile, peril.
And she's got a new release out that we'll hear probably next
words,
month. It's called Soul Awakening,
syllable,
her self-produced
human,
release. It's her
inhuman,
fourth one coming out.
Adept,
and we
adept,
started off things in 1999
adult,
with keyboardist
result,
James Hurt from his Blue Note release,
Qatar,
Dark Grooves,
afar,
Mystical Rhythm. We heard Neptune.
Caprice, a piece. Delete, repeat. Enhance, entrance. Fillet, millet. Finance, perchance. Finesse, caress. Grimace, deface, Illicit. I'll miss it.
And the time is now just about 12:30 here at WGXC. Why don't we take a break and polish off the rest of the Jazz Disturbance.
This is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre Hudson Catskill.
And coming up at 1 o'clock, Music for the Masses with your host, Neva Wortel. Until then, we'll start off this set in 1964 when this was recorded. This was released the year later on Warner Brothers Records. And this is composer and bandleader Duke Ellington playing Mary Poppins. No, I did not see the remake. I don't know if I ever will, but I do fondly remember the original, and I remember so many of these tunes. And it was only Duke Ellington and his, as he called it, what he called his second heartbeat, arranger Billy Strayhorn can do. They've written music for so many of the wonderful musicians in the band. Duke Ellington, fond of writing specific solos for specific players. So why don't we start it off with a memorable tune that I won't even mention. I know you'll figure it out because you're just great. Duke Ellington with a spoonful of sugar. Duke Ellington, born on April 29th, 1899. So his birth date is coming up, which is why I brought this up. And as I said, fond of writing for his stellar soloists. On that, we heard alto saxophonist Johnny Hodges and baritone saxophonist Harry Carney. On this next one, it's Duke Ellington on piano, Tootie Williams, the trumpeter, and tenor saxophonist Paul Gonsalves on the tune Chim Chim Cheree. Thank you. And we heard The Life I Lead featuring alto saxophonist Johnny Hodges. These selections taken from Duke Ellington Plays Mary Poppins, originally released in 1964 on Reprise Records. And before that, we heard Chim Chim Cheree featuring Duke Ellington, Cootie Williams, and Paul Gonzalez. And what do we have? We've got 18 minutes before 1 p.m. here at WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. We move on to my favorite piece from Mary Poppins, featuring clarinetists Jimmy Hamilton and Russell Procopi and trombonist Lawrence Brown. And the tune is called Feed the Birds.
This is Barry White, and I know I had to hold you and make you mine. Now, I don't want to control you, I just want to have a good time. I'm in ecstasy when you're laying down next to me, listening to WGXC. Oh, no, no. It's ecstasy, yeah, when you are laying down next to me, listening to WGXC 90.7, Acre, Hudson, Catskill. This is so right for you and for me, this WGXC.
Folks, how could I not end without this? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, taken from Duke Ellington Plays Mary Poppins, that's Paul Gonzalez soloing. And before this, we heard the tune Step in Time that featured Sam Woodyard, the drummer, and John Lamb, the bassist. And right before that, Feed the Birds. Folks, it is a little before, what is it, about 8 minutes before one. We got time. We got time. We're going to finish this out and we'll hear more from Sidney Poitier from the release Journeys Inside the Mind, the dialogues of Plato, the music of Fred Katz, and of course, from Harry Fleetwood, helping us mend our speech. I'll be back in 2 weeks for more of the Jazz Disturbance. Neva is by my side, getting herself together. She's got her banana. She's got her yogurt. She's all fortified and ready for you here at 90.7 FM. Folks, ciao for now.
Women are to have the same duties as men. Thus, they must have the same nurture and education. They will be taught music, gymnastics, and the art of war, which they must practice like the men. I expect that to some people our proposals may appear ridiculous. Most ridiculous of all will be the sight of naked women exercising in the palaestra with men, especially when they are no longer young. Our opponents will say, Socrates, no adversary need convict you, for at the foundation of the state you admitted that everybody was to do the one work best suited to his own nature. We would have to reply that such an admission was made. Further, they will say, do not the natures of men and women differ very much indeed? And we would say, of course they do. Then we shall be asked, in that case should not the tasks assigned to men and to women be different? Certainly they should, we shall answer. They will conclude, but if so, have you not fallen into a serious inconsistency in saying that men and women whose natures are different ought to perform the same actions? What defense should we make against these objections? When a man is out of his depth, whether he has fallen into a little swimming bath or into mid-ocean, he has to swim all the same. Can any way of escape be found? We have acknowledged that different natures ought to have different pursuits and that the natures of men and women are different. And now we are accused of saying that different natures ought to have the same pursuits. This is the inconsistency charged to us. However, we never considered what was meant by sameness or difference of nature. If the difference consists only in the fact that women bear and men beget children, then we must maintain that this does not amount to a proof that woman differs essentially from man in respect to the sort of education she should receive. Therefore, we shall continue to hold that men and women ought to have the same pursuits. Next, we shall ask our opponent how, in reference to any of the pursuits or arts of civic life, the nature of a woman differs from that of a man. Let us say to him, there is no special faculty of administration in a state which a woman has because she is a woman, or which a man has by virtue of his sex. The gifts of nature are diffused alike in them. So the pursuits of men might be the pursuits of women, except that woman is weaker than man. Are we, therefore, to impose all our enactments on men and none of them on women? No, for men and women alike possess the qualities which make good guardians of the state. This must be the law, for it is agreeable to nature and therefore not an impossibility, while the contrary practice prevailing at present is in reality a violation of nature.
A second factor in acquiring good speech is concentration on the slight differences in the sound of words, which are diverse in meaning, words which sound exactly alike, if only slightly distorted. Some words must be very crisply enunciated and articulated when correctness is the goal. Theodore Roosevelt said that one of our defects as a nation is our tendency to use what he called weasel words, words that have been sucked dry and become impotent mumblings. There are many words quite similar in sound. Unless each syllable is clearly and distinctly enunciated, The sound blurs and the meaning is lost. A few examples are area, aria, arrant, errant.
So you condemn me to death. If you had waited a little while, your desire would have been fulfilled in the course of nature. I am far advanced in years, as you may perceive, and not far from death. But I would rather die, having spoken after my manner, than speak in your manner and live. And now I depart hence, condemned by you to suffer the penalty of death, while my accusers go their way, condemned by the truth to suffer the penalty of villainy and wrong. I must abide by my award, and they must abide by theirs. Let us reflect, and we shall see why there is great reason to hope that death is a good. One of two things is true. Death is either a state of nothingness and utter unconsciousness, or, as men say, there is a migration of the soul from this world to another. Now, if you suppose that there is no consciousness, but merely a sleep, I say that to die is a gain, because eternity is then only a single night. If death is the journey to another place, and there all the dead are, what good, O my friends and judges, can be greater than this? If indeed, when the pilgrim arrives in the world below, he is delivered from the professors of justice in this world and finds the true judges who are said to give judgment in that other, and is privileged to examine the wise poets and heroes. If this be true, let me die again and again. There I shall find out who among the great is really wise, and who pretends to be wise, but is not. What would not a man give to be able to examine the leader of the great Trojan expedition, or numberless others? What infinite delight would there be in conversing with them and asking questions? In that world I shall be able to continue my search into the nature of true and false knowledge. And besides being happier there than here, men will be immortal if what is said is true. I see clearly that to die and be released is better for me. The hour of departure has arrived.